Hello. Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are currently in our series, Relationships. If you would like to know more about North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can check us out on our website, nvcmd.org.
Again, my name is Dan Housem. I am the lead pastor here at North Valley Church. And as it turns out, my wife and I live just a few miles up the road. And we own a home. It's just a little rancher. The basement's kind of usable, but I wouldn't use the word finished. But it has a bathroom in the lower floor. We got one in the upper floor and one in the lower floor. We've had some problems with the toilet in the bathroom, in the basement. It's been leaking and getting stuff on the floor, so we had it turned off. You know, you got the spigot there, you can turn it off. And when I get around to it, right, I'm going to fix it. So, wow, look at the wives looking at the husbands. I am not going to see that. So, but that matters because it's going to tie right into my story I'm about to tell. So it has been, you know, been in need of repair, but we've been kind of using it part-time, turn it on, use it, turn it off. But weekish or so ago, wife said, wow, the toilet's really leaking. I don't know, maybe I didn't get it on. So she turned it off again, you know, made sure it was off and cleaned up all the water that had been gathered on the floor. And then she went down a couple of days later and it's like, wow, there's still lots of water on the floor. Man, Dan, I think there's something messed up with the toilet. So that was earlier in the week. And then she's like, okay, I'll put this under it. I'll put this under it to try and catch the water that's dripping. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do my best to get to it this weekend, right? I'm just full boat, getting ready for Sunday. I can't get to it right now, but I'm going to get ready to get working on it over the weekend. Friday came around. We're having a baptism today, so I picked us up a cake that we will be having after church today. We're going to have the cake and some gluten-free cookies. Friday, I went out to the store to order the cake, and I figured, hey, while I'm in town running errands, why don't I go ahead and just pick up the parts I need to fix the toilet? So I texted Millie, running out to the grocery store, ordering cake, and then I'm going to swing by Home Depot and pick up the parts. My response was, let me see if I can pull this up. My response that I got was, thank you. And then she sent me a bunch of emojis. Kissy, kissy, hug, hug, face with hearts. All I did was promise to pick up the parts. And I got me some kissy, kissy, hug, hug, hearts. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment, right? The kissy, kissy, hug, hug, hearts wasn't because I was fixing a toilet. There was something more to it than that, right? If I said, Chad, I'm going to come over and help you with your toilet and help get it fixed. Ooh. Paul, if I said, I'm coming over to fix... Why'd I pick Chad? Okay. Yeah. Right, so I want you to think about this for a moment. The response I receive when I do a good deed is built on the relationships I have. The response I receive when I do a good deed is built on the relationships I have. Depending on the relationship that I have with the people involved, I get a different response. It doesn't mean we don't do good deeds, but we need to be aware and measure, man, how people are going to respond. Man, it really starts with relationships. Think about the times that you've done things for people, right? Think about the times you've done a good deed, and sometimes you don't get any response. And hopefully when you tell the wife, all I'm doing is going to pick up, I'm going to fix the toilet this afternoon, hopefully. God knows what I might get for that, right? But when we do something for people that we have a relationship with, it means a little more. We are continuing in our series on relationships. So I'm actually going to talk about, what do you do when you don't have a relationship? A couple of weeks ago, Grant did his series. Go ahead, Millie, go to the next slide. Grant did his series on circles. When him and Brooke led worship, just her, and we kind of did more of a kumbaya church that day. And he talked about circles, the inner circle, and then the small group circle, and the crowd circle, that we have different intimacies in our relationships. What does it look like when you don't have a relationship? And the people you're working with are strangers. How do we process that? How does that look? Right? So if you've got the circle thing going, these are people who are actually outside of our circle. We don't have a relationship. We don't know who these people are. And so how do we approach that? We're going to walk into a passage in the book of Matthew. Jesus, in the context of what it is that we're going to read, Jesus is actually doing some teaching on the end times. So he's going through a whole list of things that he's been teaching, and he comes to this teaching that we're going to walk through today. And it'll reveal to us, how does it work for us when we serve people that we don't have a relationship with? Jesus is teaching. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. So Jesus is using a little simile there for separating people right and left, sheep and goats. When we see that, what He is doing is separating those who have a relationship with Him from those who do not. As you read in other passages in God's Word, there will be this moment when that separation happens. And that those who have a relationship, the outcome after Jesus comes back is going to be a little different for those who do not. See, Jesus is putting onto us that we should be recognizing He's been here once already. That He came to this earth 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, and for no fault or anything that He had done, He was nailed to a cross. Nailed to a cross and died for our sins. We all need that healing. We all need that reconciliation. We've all sinned, me included. And without that sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross, I can't restore my relationship with God. Cooler yet, when He rose from the dead, He demonstrated He is the one. If you put your faith and trust in Him, He can do all that He promised. And He promised us that same resurrection that He experienced. He eventually ascended into heaven, but He had been teaching His disciples, as He's doing in this passage here. I'm coming back. When I come back, get ready. Be ready. Don't wait till I get here. Now's our opportunity to have a relationship with God. When we cross that line and build that relationship with God and make that commitment, I want to follow Jesus, not myself, we start to lean into what it is that he says instead of doing things our own way. It starts with a simple act of obedience. I'm taking away my talk time after the service, but that's what it is we're going to do afterwards. Ginny is going to get into the water as an act of obedience out of what it is that Jesus has asked her to do. She has already entered a relationship. She is now going to start living his way, and it starts with doing what he asked. I want you to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That time is coming. If you've never made that decision or thought about that before today, man, I would really hope that you would be able to do that today. If you were feeling like, man, maybe I need to talk about what that looks like, what my next steps are, man, come, please talk to me after the service. If you don't think you can hang out after the service in the program, there's some info. You can always send an email to info@nvcmd.org. See, we say that every week. Because there's going to come a time when the relationships we form today are going to matter. They actually matter for eternity. And that's the relationship. The one with Jesus that restores the one with God that impacts us for eternity. Don't let that go by today. If you don't think you can talk to me today, there'll be a guy, Grant, in the water. I'm sure he would love to talk to you too about what those next steps might look like. So when the Son of Man, Jesus, returns, he's going to do this separation for those on the right, those who have a relationship with him, and those on the left, those who don't. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Jesus is speaking a little bit in third person, but when he says, then the king will say, he's talking about himself. He's the king. He's the one who's going to say, hey, to those on his right who have a relationship with him, hey, come on, there's an inheritance, there's a blessing, join on in. And then he gives a little demo of how those people might be living. The passage continues in verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Jesus is painting a picture. Hey, if you're my followers, be thinking about doing this. He is super clear about how we should be responding to strangers. We should be inviting them in. We should be caring for their needs. We don't need to have that relationship to make that first step and just help somebody meet a need. We may want to build a relationship. I know that Howard does a lot of meeting needs for his ministry that he does in Frederick. His goal is to build relationships, but he knows that to get started, we just need to meet needs. Help people meet their physical, maybe emotional needs. And then don't treat them like a stranger. Invite them in, help them feel welcome. We can all do that. Jesus is actually inviting us to do that. The king here is going to praise those who did that. You know, take a look at the response. Jesus is still looking in the future, the response of those that he's saying that to. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? I want you to think about that for just a moment. That when we're doing the things God wants us to do, we don't always know what the interaction is. Jesus is pointing out to these folks, he might have been present, but they just didn't know. Obedience doesn't rely on having somebody have to walk beside us and go, and now do this, and now do that, and now do this. At some point, we ought to know what to do, and we just follow through and do what it is that God's asked us to do. Jesus's response, or the king's response to the people who were like, well, we didn't know you were there. What did we do? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. That when we have an opportunity to invite a stranger in, to meet somebody's need, we're serving Jesus. Followers of Jesus, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, serving strangers is the same as serving Jesus. Think about that. Y'all, if you want to wonder what it is that God, what can you do to serve God in his kingdom? There's an easy button. Find a way to plug in and serve. I'm going to talk more about that later in the sermon, what our opportunities are. But, man, serving people we don't have a relationship with yet is the same as serving Jesus. So I'm going to pause for a moment, take a breath, and I want to reflect on this for a moment. Right? Presumably, I will be in this group of people. Right, I've been resurrected, and I might be standing in that group, and I'll be saying the same thing. I didn't know I was serving you, but he's praising me and everyone else, hopefully all of you, giving us praise for when we did do it. He's not scolding us for the times we didn't. I want you to think about that for a moment. I know. When I get in these circumstances where I have an opportunity to do something, the Holy Spirit prompts me, Dan, psst, now, go do something. You know what? Sometimes I go, yeah, and I do it. Sometimes I miss. Sometimes I go, no, I'm busy. No, I can't. No, it doesn't feel right. And I walk away. And I don't follow the prompting of God's Spirit. It's part of who I am. The king's not holding it against us. Think about that for a moment. The king's praising the righteous, those who are his followers. He's praising them for doing good deeds, but he's not holding their mistakes, the time they drop the ball, their sin against them. The reward for our good deeds is born out of our relationships. Not out of the good deed. Based on our relationship with Jesus Christ, our good deeds mean something. And God, through the forgiveness we get through Jesus Christ, turns aside all of our sin, the times we mess up. That's what's born out of the relationship we get to have with Christ. This passage moves on. Talk about other folks. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now we're talking about the people on the left, the people who have not had a relationship with him up until that moment. And then he says the same thing he said to the other side, but in the negative context. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? The king's reply. He will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. For those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, he remembers and praises us for our good deeds. For those of us who do not, he remembers our sin. We get confused as natural humans. We want to believe that our good deeds matter and that it's going to open the door to heaven. And lots of people who don't follow Christ, they struggle on this point. But what if I'm a good person? This Jesus is trying to explain what the value of being a good person is. Don't carry this too far. God is less interested in us being a good person than he is just having a relationship with us to start with. That's what God wants, a relationship. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be spending time with him, following his leadership, inviting him into our difficult moments, looking to him for strength and guidance to do the cool things he set before us. That's what comes out of the relationship. Good deeds, yeah, we're going to get praised for it. Well, I used to hear somebody talk about there are crowns in heaven, and when we go to heaven, we're going to get rewards for the things that we're doing. And so I used to joke when I'd be out on a mission trip or helping serve somewhere, I would say I'm putting upgraded fixtures in my bathroom, right? That's when I get to my heavenly bathroom, it's going to be pretty nice by the time I get there. Tile floors, yeah. I want you to think about that. Our good deeds will be praised by God. There are crowns in heaven. We will receive rewards for those. But if you don't go to heaven, they really won't matter. The response to your good deeds is born out of the relationship we have. We have an opportunity to do what it is that Jesus is asking, to be able to step into and go, hey, what can I do for people in need? What can I do to bridge this gap with strangers? How do I do that? The people who are outside of even my crowd circle. If you want to just double check me on how I'm observing this, in our devos, I don't have any scripture on the slides or in the outline, but if you have the devos, on Thursday is a passage out of Matthew 7. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Listen to what they're doing. Driving out demons, performing miracles. Wow, these are really spiritual people. Then I will reply to them, Jesus speaking, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Our good deeds won't matter unless we have a relationship with the one who can reward us for them. If you want to read some more about that in the devos on Thursday, that will come around. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So we have an opportunity to live like we're going to heaven, like we're followers of Christ. And Jesus, the King, is looking for that to be revealed by how we treat strangers. How do we come up to and help serve those who have a need? So I'm going to just build some opportunities here, right? Some of us have been going to North Valley Church for a while. Some of us are a guest for today. Even for those who have been coming for a while, I was sick for the month of August, and one of my first weeks back, I ended up serving in the kids area. And so I'm down in the kids area helping in the green room, and some parents bring some kids. And Amanda, who's teaching, she called, "Oh yeah, hey Huck, how you doing, blah, blah." And she's like, I'm thinking, you know these people. And I didn't recognize any of them. It was a family, and they had a kid for every room, right? And I didn't even know who they were. I know if that's true for me, I am thinking it's true for everybody, that there's people in this room you've never been formally introduced to. So as pastors, we've got this thing we joke about, right? How do you introduce yourself to people that you don't know, right? Do you walk up and say, "Wow, is this your first day, North Valley Church?" "No, I've been coming here for 5 months." All right, well, that was a terrible way to start that conversation. Try these words. "Hi, I don't think we've been formally introduced. My name is Dan." Insert your name there. Break the ice. I would love for everybody today meet somebody you don't know, somebody that you have not been formally introduced. One person. Maybe we can make it a habit, and that every week we get the opportunity, we just find somebody that we don't know and say, "Hi, my name is..." I don't think we've ever been formally introduced. And this is a super safe, easy place to practice. You know why? Because introducing yourself to strangers weird some of us out. There's some of us, like Chad, who were like, "Hey, whoa, yeah, yeah." Grant, the guy who's been in the water, he's pretty much like that. Others of us are like, "You want me to do what? Talk to somebody I don't know? I got all kinds of anxiety that's rolling up. Just listening to you talk about it, Dan, is freaking me out." Practice. On one of our devotional days, the scripture is, practice hospitality. The thing we practice, we will get better at. Ain't no safer place to practice your hospitality than right here. Start doing that. Just say hi. You don't need to become best friends. You don't need to buy them lunch unless the Holy Spirit prompts you to do that. Those of you who don't know me, I like cheeseburgers. Feel free to invite me to lunch. This is a safe place to get started. Maybe you've got your game on. It's like, okay, this is good, I'll go do it. And I'm asking to do that because this is what it is that we're doing. But I'll be honest, I've hung out in other churches. North Valley does a pretty decent job at welcoming strangers, reaching out and talking to people we don't know. Thumbs up. Well done. I think y'all do a good job. Let's just keep that train rolling. We have other opportunities to be able to do that too. I mentioned Howard and his ministry to people we don't know in Frederick. It's a marvelous opportunity to go meet people. Now, Howard and I need to work out communication, but there are opportunities on Saturday morning, Tuesday evening, and once a month, first Friday of the month, for us to be able to go and simply minister. The Friday night, once a month, all you're doing is sitting playing games with somebody, right? It's a moment where you can serve somebody. It's not brain surgery. If you're ready to take that next step, okay, I can do the easy stuff, talk to Howard afterwards. In the coming weeks, you are going to see these things. We're going to do a little push because fall is here. The rescue mission, the cold weather shelter, the coalition, they're all rolling back now to, you know, this is how we can interact. And so there are more opportunities for us to do that. I would love for us to be taking those opportunities and engaging and figuring out how to minister to strangers. And when you're struggling with, "Well, I don't know, blah, 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 blah," new fixtures in your bathroom in heaven if you can spare some time to do that. And you know what? After you do it a time or two, you start, guess what happens? You get to build a relationship. And then you want to go too. And then some people who genuinely could use an extra relationship, could use a friend. You get to be a light for them. You know what? They need to be able to experience the love of Christ in practical ways and in relational ways. That's how Jesus will be revealed to them. We have opportunities to do that. If you're not doing that today, man, I hope that you would just take a moment and go, let God speak to you. What is it you need me to do? What is it you're calling me? Is it going to make me uncomfortable? Probably. God has a habit of working that way. He doesn't call us to stay on our couch and stay in our comfort zone. He ain't never done that for me. If he's doing that for you, bless you. But typically he's saying, look, there's the next step. I want you to consider doing this. I'm going to invite the band up. And while they are coming up, if you could please just think for a moment, where am I emotionally, relationally, spiritually about being able to meet strangers? Am I in a comfortable place? It's like, hey, you know what? I think I just need to step my game up and I need to talk to Howard after the service. Or are you one of those people who's like, you have been giving me an anxiety attack for the whole latter half of this service, Dan. Maybe you can just practice here and build your skills up. Right? Some of us are going to be gifted at it, and some of us need to work on it and build our skill. All of us are called to do it. Take some time and allow God to call you into the place that he wants you to do it. Could you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, man, thank you. Thank you that you are a relational God. Man, how cool is that? That good deeds and works and stuff, that it's all important. It all matters. It takes a lot of work to even make a Sunday morning happen. But the reason we do all that stuff is so that we can hang out with you together. Because relationships matter. God, I pray that you would just let that sink in. As we get slippery on the slope of, hey, do good works because that's how you're going to get to heaven. Man, help us be anchored and know Jesus. My relationship with Jesus is how I get to heaven. Good works are good. I'm going to get rewarded for it. He's going to praise me for my good works, just like any parent would do for their child. But I'm going to have a relationship because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Help us affirm that, Lord. Help us to be able to follow your leadership. Where might you be calling us today? Where might you be leading us so that we can be in a place to be able to meet strangers and minister to them? We don't need to know them right off to be able to serve them. Well, who knows? If we keep doing it, maybe we'll make a friend. If we keep doing it, maybe we'll be able to reveal who you are to them in an authentic and real and personal way. I lift up today and all the hearts and souls that are here to be able to do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Dan, for that wonderful message. We're going to continue in worship, so if you want to stand with us today.